Last week we were in the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus. We were considering God's provision as the children of Israel yet again grumbled at their predicament there in the wilderness with no food to eat. And God graciously provided for them. We observed last week that he provided that which was suitable. It was appropriate to their need. They were hungry. He gave them food. We noted that God's provision was sufficient. It satisfied their need. Everyone gathered as much as he could eat. Some more, some less. None was left over. It fully satisfied them. We observed in the third place that God's provision was sustained. It continued as long as they had a need. Indeed, at the end of this chapter, we see that it continued for 40 years until they were on the border of the land of Canaan, until they entered the promised land, the land of God's provision for them. And so God's provision was suitable, it was sufficient, it was sustained. Now, this evening, I want to look at another aspect of God's provision. And that is that it was sabbatical. Sabbatical in its nature. In other words, what I'm saying is that God's provision provided for their need of rest. It provided for their need of rest. It was sabbatical. Now, as we look at this, there are three things that I want to point out about this sabbatical nature of God's provision. And the first is that the Sabbath is a gift and blessing from God, not a burden to be endured. The Sabbath is a gift and blessing from God, not a burden to be endured. Moses was instructed by God, who then instructed the people of Israel, that they were to collect the manna each morning. This suitable, sufficient, sustained provision for their need of food was to be gathered up every day. Sufficient for each day was the Lord's provision. But there was an exception to that daily rule. On the sixth day, they were to gather twice as much. And interestingly, when this is first mentioned in verse 5, we note that God was testing them. This is what the Lord said to Moses. Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. God gave specific instructions. Every day, gather enough for that day. But on the sixth day, gather enough for 2 days. And the reason for that is then explained in verses 22 and following. They were to gather twice as much on the sixth day because the seventh day was a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Now, what I want you to note from this story is that it wasn't simply that the Israelites were not to gather the food on the seventh day, but God did not supply it on the seventh day. There was none to be gathered. We're told in verse 27, on the seventh day some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. What God is calling the people to do is what God himself is doing. God provided. God supplied. God delivered bread. 6 days a week, and on the seventh day, he rested. And God is calling the Israelites to do the same. 6 days a week, they were to go out. They were to gather. They were to take into their possession what God had supplied. They were to prepare it, and they were to eat it 6 days a week. On the seventh day, they were to rest from that labor. It was a gift from God. It was a blessing to them. It wasn't a burden. They weren't to be irritated that they could no longer go out and gather. Rather, they were to rejoice that they did not need to go out and gather because of God's gracious supply for them. The Sabbath was given to the Israelites for their good. The Sabbath was given to them as a day of rest. Later on, in chapter 20 of Exodus, they were given the Ten Commandments. And among those commandments were very specific instructions given with regard to the Sabbath day. Exodus 20 and verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." The seventh day was to be distinct. It was to be marked out, unique from all the other days of the week. It was to be a day of rest, a day of refreshment. And so, as the children of Israel made this necessary task, performed this necessary task of preparing, gathering, preparing and eating their daily bread, on the seventh day, they were to refrain from that. Oh, they could prepare and eat it, but they were not to gather it. They were not to enter into that labor. They were to reflect what God was doing in their own lives by resting. But the Sabbath day was not just a day of rest. It was also a day of worship. The Ten Commandments are repeated in the book of Deuteronomy. The title Deuteronomy means second law. It's a second giving of the law, when much of what has been said before is repeated by Moses to the generation of Israelites who are on the brink of entering the promised land at that point. A whole generation has died in the wilderness because of their rebellion against God. And so the law is given a second time to that new generation so that they may know it. And observe that in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 12 and following, the basis for the Sabbath is given a little bit differently. "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." So there, the basis of the Sabbath is redemption. The basis of this day of rest is freedom from slavery. It is a day in which the people are to remember God's work of redemption. It's a day in which they are to reflect the worth with which they hold the work of God in saving them from their slavery. It's a celebration of their redemption. So the day is not only a day of rest, but it's a day of reflecting on the character of God and the work of God in order that we may give praise to God. So the Sabbath is a gift and a blessing from God, not a burden to be borne or endured. That's the first thing that I want to say with regard to this Sabbath that God has provided. The second thing is that the Sabbath is for us, but not determined by us. The Sabbath is for us, but not determined by us. Jesus said that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, indicating that the Sabbath day was given as a blessing to man, not a burden upon man. But we must note that it is not for us to use however we decide we want to use it. It is not free time. It is God's time. Here's how God spoke to the Israelites many, many generations later, recorded for us by Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 58. He says in verses 13 and 14, "If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honourable, if you honour it, not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." The words of the Lord to Israel in that generation were that the Sabbath was not to be used how they wanted to use it. They were to turn from doing their pleasure on God's holy day. They were to not go their own ways, not seek their own pleasure, not talk idly, but they were to honour this day as the Lord's day, as God's day. The Sabbath is for us. It is for our good. God says, call the Sabbath a delight. Take delight in the Lord, and I will bless you. I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will prosper you, he's saying. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. It's an opportunity for us to show our trust in God. That's what the Israelites were being called to do. When God says, I will test them. 6 days there will be manna to be collected. On the seventh day there will be none. I will test them. Will they trust me? Will they take just enough on 5 days to satisfy their hunger on those 5 days? Will they trust me to provide for the next day and the next day and the next day on those 5 days of the week? And on the sixth day, will they trust my word that on that day they must gather twice as much? They must gather sufficient for the sixth and the seventh day. Will they trust me? Will they obey me? This routine of 6 days of labour and a seventh day for rest is an opportunity to show our trust in God. Will God provide? Will God satisfy? Can I really delight in the Sabbath of God? Well, if we will obey his word, we will prove him to be faithful. The Sabbath is for us. It is a gift, it is a blessing from God for our good, but it is not to be determined by us. God sets the boundaries, and we are to trust him and to obey him. And then there's a third thing that I want to say about this Sabbath provision of God. And that is that the Sabbath is for us today, not for Israel back then. The Sabbath is for us today, not just for Israel back then. You may have noticed that I've been saying, not the Sabbath was a gift and a blessing, not the Sabbath was for them, but the Sabbath is a gift and blessing from God. And the Sabbath is for us, but not to be determined by us. The Sabbath is for us today, not for Israel back then alone. For this command, you see, this command, when the manna is being given as a blessing and provision from God, this command comes before the law was ever given. There are many who say, well, you know, the commandments, the law of God given at Sinai doesn't apply to us under the new covenant. They were old covenant commands for an old covenant people. God gave the law at Sinai. It was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It doesn't apply to us. But this command was given before Sinai. This command was given outside the structure and the framework of the Ten Commandments and the rest of the law that was given to Israel. And I don't believe for a moment that even those only applied to Israel, but allowing for that argument for a moment, we have to address the fact that this command is given before then. The command comes prior to the law. And indeed, even as Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11 indicates, it is based upon creation. It is what theologians call a creation ordinance. In Genesis chapter 2, we're told of how the Sabbath was instituted. Not by a decree of God at Mount Sinai, but by the word of God that came at the beginning of the world. The heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. And that behavior of God in resting on the seventh day becomes the paradigm, the pattern for humanity, for all of humanity, for every descendant of Adam and Eve who themselves were called to reflect the character of God and the work of God. That means us, not just the Israelites. The Sabbath rest is a creation ordinance, not a law imposed at Sinai upon the Israelites alone. And so the Sabbath, as it was to remind the children of Israel of their redemption from Egypt, and as it was to point forward to the rest that God was to provide in the promised land, so too, a Sabbath day of rest is to be remembered by us, is to be kept by us, to remind us of our salvation, of our redemption in Christ Jesus from slavery to sin. And the rest that we're given from sin's curse in Christ Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, we're informed that Jesus Christ has provided a rest, but it is not a rest that has yet arrived in its fullness. In chapter 4 and verse 1 of Hebrews, the writer says, "Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it." And then in verse 9, "So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience," referring back to the disobedience of the Israelites. There is a rest for us that Christ has won for us through his obedience to the law of God. It is a rest that is ours now because we have been released from slavery to sin, but it has not yet come to us in its fullness, because that is yet to come when Jesus Christ comes a second time and completes our salvation. Creation yet yearns and groans for that day, and we do too. And so our Sabbath day both looks back to what Christ has provided in redemption and looks forward to its culmination in the new heavens and the new earth. The Sabbath is for us today, and not only for Israel back then. But we do have to note that there is a difference. One big difference is that the day has changed. Our Sabbath, our day of rest, is no longer the seventh day, but it is the first day. We see it unfolding in the New Testament. For example, let me give you a couple of texts. In 1 Corinthians, in the last few chapters of 1 Corinthians, Paul is giving instruction to the Corinthians in how they were to conduct themselves when they gathered together to worship God. And the 16th chapter is a part of that instruction with regard to the gathered church. And he says in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, "Concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the church of Galatia, so you also are to do, on the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come." What Paul is instructing the church in Corinth is that when they gather together, when they come together as a church, they are to bring a gift, and it is to be stored up by the church so that a collection doesn't need to be made when he arrives. And the gathering together is on the first day of the week. They're gathering for worship, they're gathering to break bread, they're gathering to praise God and to be taught from the scriptures was on the first day of the week. That was the day in which Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That was the day in which his satisfaction for our sins was approved by God by raising him from the dead. It's when our freedom from our slavery is demonstrated through the life of Jesus Christ in resurrection. It is when we are raised together to new life through our union with Jesus Christ. It is when our rest from our slavery to sin begins. And so every first day of the week we gather to worship God, to remember our redemption. But it is also the day, as far as possible, that we are to rest from our regular labours and to reflect the character of God and the work of God as we rest from our labours which we conduct the other 6 days of the week. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10, we have an indication that this day had become a recognised day for the church. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10, John testifies, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet." It was a day belonging to the Lord of victory, the Lord who had won the right to be crowned King of glory and to take authority and to rule over heaven and earth and all things in them. It was his day. It was the day of the Lord. And so the day of God, when God was to be praised, God was to be worshipped, and the people were to rest from their labour, becomes the Lord's day in the New Testament. And the question that we must ask is whether we honour God with this day, or do we despise his wisdom by doing our own pleasure, by going our own way? Do we delight in the Sabbath of God, in the provision of rest and a time of worship, glorifying our God and Saviour? Or do we do our own thing, use it our own way? I assert that the teaching of the Scriptures is that the Sabbath is a gift and a blessing from God. It is not a burden to be endured. The Sabbath is for us, but it is not to be determined by us. And the Sabbath is for us today, not only for Israel back then. Do we honour God, or do we despise him, as so many of those Israelites did back then, when they refused to obey, when they refused to trust God? May God help us to trust him with this day and use it for his glory rather than our own pleasure. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you for your word again that speaks to us in a very challenging way, because we do want to use our time for ourselves and for our own pleasure. And Lord, we want to confess before you this evening that we all too often go the way of the Israelites of old. We walk by our own wisdom, and we do not trust you as we ought. We don't trust you that you will provide for us daily for our needs. We don't trust you when you tell us, "Don't work today, rest today. Worship me today." We think that we must labour still. And Lord, above all, how frequently we take our salvation into our own hands, and how frequently still we work at it, not working to trust in Jesus, but working to be good, working to be obedient, working to satisfy the Lord's demands, rather than trusting and resting in Jesus Christ our Saviour, and reflecting his person, his character in our lives. Father, help us. Teach us through your word, but more than that, by your Spirit, empower us to obey your word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.